everyone. I think we'll go ahead and get started. Okay, I hope you all had a good rest last night. We'll be praying soon. Okay, what we're going to do today, I know you all some of you are revising for the test. We won't be doing a test today, so you'll be a bit relaxed. But we're going to be divided into groups. Okay, we're going to actually practice what we've been learning the last 2 weeks about a testing mindset. Okay, so that we can actually actively look at some real-life questions that we face. Some decisions that we will face. Some of it will definitely be covered in the Crossroads camp, but I didn't coordinate with Jeremiah around this. But it's just some of the questions that, as pastor, I regularly have. And so for us to bring it up and then look at the scriptures and then how we're going to have that ability to grasp God's word and then apply that, okay? So we're going to get started with prayer. Then after that, we will divide into groups, all right? Just small groups, maybe of four or five. And then after that, as people come in, we'll just divide, okay? So that we can discuss it and think through, all right? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for everyone that's here. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to come first day of the week to worship you. Lord, it is a privilege to be in your house, and help us never to forget that. And Lord, even as we want our hearts to be open to your word, help us, Lord, to be humble, to submit ourselves to the authority of your word so that your word can teach us things which will change our lives, will help us to move forward for you. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's divide into maybe groups of four first, okay? So maybe we'll start. Joy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? All right, I'm going to give you the first question. We take about 2 minutes, all right, to discuss. Think of some Bible verses, okay? Some Bible verses to substantiate because we need to test everything we the Bible. Okay, the first question is, that we want to think about, our sins are forgiven by the death of Christ. Okay, I want you to look at the question, think through, and then test it. Where in the Bible say that? And maybe things you have heard before, you can also bring up. Okay? All right, I'll give you 2 minutes. And then you write down. All right, so group number one, our sins are forgiven by the death of Christ. Huh? How do we test this? Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it truth? Yes. Okay, it's wrong. Why? What verse? Because we need to test everything by the word of God. Okay, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, 13 says, 9:14 says, but how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's correct. Okay, the Bible talks about it is the blood of Christ. Okay, blood of Christ. Anyone have any other verses? Anyone have any other verses? 1 John 1 verse 7 says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Okay, these 2 verses I put up. But Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. Anyone have any other passages? Okay, about the shedding of blood. Please write all this down so that at least next time when you face questions like this, immediately you have it on your... This helps you to test. Because I can tell you, a lot of the Reformed churches are following John Piper, who says that we are saved by the death of Christ in forgiveness of sins. The Bible says we are saved, we are forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. Okay? A lot of the many of the Reformed churches, John Piper and John MacArthur, these are the two very popular internet preachers, they are substantiating, they're trying to push this movement and say that we're saved, forgiven by the death of Christ. No, we're not. The Bible is very clear. All right? Okay, yes. Yeah, okay, I know what I'm saying. Okay, the statement is true. However, what John Piper and John MacArthur has defined it further to say that, no, it's not the blood, it's the death. And that's where we have to be careful. It's not wrong to say, oh, the Lord Jesus died for our sins. This is correct. But the forgiveness of sin is by the blood of Christ. So we have to define that clearer. Okay? So it's not wrong, sorry. Payment for sin is by the blood. But the overall concept is just like, I come to church in Woodlands 11. So the substitutionary death, that's correct. The substitutionary that Jesus had to die for our sins, but he had to pay for the sins in his blood. So, but what John MacArthur and John Piper is focusing merely only on the first part. And he's trying to just, literally, I've heard his message, to push away the blood. Does that make sense? It's one of the same thing, but there's a substitutionary death. Jesus must take our place. Because, okay, when Jesus died, he took our place in death. Okay? Because the wages of sin is death. But he has to be raised from the dead to defeat death. And we are inset there because of our sin. Okay? Wait, hang on, let me finish this. This is very important, I don't lose my train of thought. Okay? But to pay for the sin, to be offered to God, the blood has to be shed. Alright? So for John Piper and John MacArthur, they're pushing a half-truth that just say that he died for us and that's it. Okay? Yes. Blood must be shed. Yes. Because that is parallel to the Old Testament when the lamb is killed and the blood is the blood is shed and then it's sprinkled on the mercy seat and God accepts that as an atonement. Alright? The payment for sin. Yeah, I think the question is, we all say that Jesus died for our sins, which is correct, okay? That is the substitutionary death. Someone has to take our place. So Jesus died on our place, okay? But what the reformers are teaching right now is that the blood is not important. The blood is not important, okay? But the Bible does say very clearly it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. So Jesus, yes, he's a perfect substitution for us. He's the one who died for us. He is the only one who can die for us. But he has to shed his blood in order to wash away our sins because that is the only approved method that God receives to forgive us our sins. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay? Thanks for the clarity. We need to be very, very clear about this. Okay? Rugged in? No? Okay, let's move on to the next one. Okay, for those who just joined us, we are testing everything we have by the word of God because we're teaching a testing mindset. Sorry? Oh, why do we need to die for our sins? Okay? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Right? So all of us will die. Okay? All of us will die because we're all sinners. Okay? Now, if all of us will die, the Bible also says all of us will die and go to hell because we are sinners. Spiritually dead, physically we die, spiritually we're also separated from God. Okay? But because Jesus is perfect, he is without sin. Jesus has no sin. He has no sin. So when he died for us. He went into death, but he came out again. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That's a resurrection. Okay? And his blood washes away our sins. Once he washed away our sins, and we receive him by faith, we are clean. Once we are clean, sin and death cannot control us. Okay? Once we die and we have received Jesus into our hearts, we are clean in Jesus, same as Jesus, and as Jesus rose from the dead, we follow him. That's why we go to heaven. But for those who have never trusted Jesus or trusted works or trusted religion and not Jesus, when they die, they go straight to hell. Does that make sense? Okay, that's a good question. Does that make sense? Okay, let's go on to the next one. Salvation is so that we can go to heaven. Okay, I'll give you 2 minutes. Is this a true statement from the Bible? Salvation is so that we can go to heaven. Okay, so Brian Henry, you can join that group. Because it's supposed to be in a group one. Okay, so I'll give you 2 minutes, then after that, you'll share what Bible verse teaches you this or doesn't teach you this. Salvation is so that we can go to heaven. Okay, as you're discussing, focus on the primary purpose of Christ. Focus on the primary purpose of Christ coming to earth for us. I know you're trying to kind of don't look at the generality because there are a lot of people who say general things, but then where we miss the point. For example, you say you come to church in Woodlands 11. So where's the church? You need to know 1043. We need to be specific. Okay? Ken, group number 3. Is this statement true as far as the scriptures is concerned? It's false. Okay, why is it false? Okay. So what's the reason? Which is hell. So I get saved because I want to go to heaven. Okay, it's a gift. Heaven is a gift, okay. So we're saved from hell. Okay, so heaven, so that means, so salvation is so that we can go to heaven. I'm trying to be the devil's advocate here, because you have to be very clear. Anyone can add to that? But God, you want to try? You want to keep trying? Okay. It is a twofold thing, yes. The reason why I want to do that is because a lot of people are saying that and they are accepting the whole thing as truth. And they are living their lives after this particular truth. But I'm here to tell you the Bible has something else to say, which is even more important, okay? Anyone else want to add to that? Salvation from sin, how do you know that? Huh? Chapter 1, verse, which says... Okay, let's pretend there is no heaven and there's no hell. Let's pretend there's no heaven, there's no hell, okay? But we sin against God. Let's pretend only, pretend there is a heaven, there is a hell. But let's pretend there isn't any, okay? And God made us and we sin. Jesus came to die for us. What was that purpose for? Huh? To reconcile back to God, but God has to deal with the sin, okay? Reason why I had to bring this because many people think they're going to heaven. That's a goal. Everyone wants to go to heaven. Right? But they miss the point because salvation is Jesus saving them from their sin. And this is an important point because if we are saved, if you believe in Jesus and go to heaven, I'm on my way to heaven, then I don't have to be obedient to my mom and dad. I don't have to be faithful. I don't have to serve God. I can go and steal and it's okay. I'm still going to heaven. Okay, wait. That's the mindset of people today. Alright? And we need to be careful because many people sit in churches believing they're going to heaven because, oh, I have salvation. I'm going to heaven. But they live lives the way they want to. But Jesus came to save us from our sins. Okay? Yeah? Yes, yes, yes. But we have to be clear. We have to be clear that we are on the way to hell first.
Because of sin.
Yeah, because of sin. Okay, wait, sorry. The reason why it's necessary because many people say, I believe in Jesus. I can go to pubs. I can dance. I can do all kinds of drugs. I can cheat. And I'll still be on my way to heaven. Simply because I'm a Christian. That's the reason. I'm not plucking hairs. It's a reality of Christianity today. There are many people sitting in churches just saying, I've said a prayer, I believe in Jesus, therefore I'm on my way to heaven, I can sin and it's okay. No, Jesus came to save us from our sin. If all God has to do to bring us to heaven, you just believe in me, come into heaven. That would be so easy. Jesus didn't have to die. He didn't have to pay the price. Because sin is such a terrible thing. And we need to have the fear of God that we deal with sin in our lives. Okay? I know what you mean, Jeremiah. For an earnestly true seeker of the truth who understand, yes, I want to go to heaven, but how? Oh, I need to deal with my sin. Okay, I will deal with my sin because it is so serious. But now people, we are sharing the gospel. People say, oh, believe in Jesus, go to heaven. What? Okay, man. And many people are following their track. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Okay? And the reason why lives are not changed, is because we still want our sin. And Jesus' salvation is to deal with sin in our lives. Because he loves us, he says, look, you got to deal with this. And because of this, you see, if there is no sin, there is no hell. Okay? If there is no sin, there is no hell. Hell is because of sin. And we've got to deal with this so that hell is cancelled out and God actually sends us to heaven. It's correct motivation. We want to be with God, but we've got to deal with sin. Okay? Any questions? As a Christian, this is essential. This is essential. We need to realize that if our lives are not changed after we say we are Christians, because simply because we have not dealt with sin. Because when Jesus deals with sin in our lives, our life is changed. There will be unity in the family, there will be unity in the church, there will be unity everywhere. Okay? Yes. Yeah, okay. That one we go into other things, but okay, that's an important. So how many of you understand what sanctification? Sanctification. Sanctification means after I become a Christian, God continues to change us. Okay? Right? Okay? That's true. But the first thing is that you want to change. If you want to change. If I say that, oh, you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. Of course, you give me an insurance that I pay $1, you give me $1 million, of course I won. But I don't have to change anything. But you say you are on your way to hell because of your sin. You got to want to change. Then the person needs to make a decision. Will I live on my old life or will I change? That's, yeah, I'll give you all the answers, which is actually very good because I'm talking about repentance as well. But, okay? After the talk about sanctification, right, we'll go on to the questions first. Okay, another question, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Sins must be forgiven before we can even think about going to heaven. All right, Jesus came to save us from our sins. That's a key. Okay, next question. We just have to believe in Jesus to be forgiven of our sins. Okay, maybe I just follow that through. Okay, many people are saying this. That's called easy believism. Whereby a person says, oh, you just believe in Jesus. I have faith in Jesus. You go to heaven. Now, the question is that true? Why? Okay, they don't know it's Jesus in their life. Okay, that's a good answer. But what else does the Bible says? What else does the Bible, maybe spend a minute, just discuss among yourself. Okay, what else does the Bible says? This is very, we just have to believe in Jesus to be forgiven of our sins. Okay, I'm not trying to teach you new truth. I'll show you from the scriptures, okay? And you need to know from the scriptures too. Okay, now group number four will tell us, okay? Group number four. Is this a true statement? Okay, maybe I just want to say this, that as we are going through this thing, I'm trying to share with you the whole counsel of God, whereby sometimes we believe 50%, we need to put the whole counsel together in order to understand what God means. Okay. We just have to believe in Jesus to be forgiven of our sins. Okay, group four? Group four? Group four? Maybe Brother Henry, Brother Joshua, or Jara? Okay, not completely true, not true. It's not complete. Okay, what do you need from the Bible to make it complete? Oh, that's a wonderful one. Let's turn to James. Okay, I like that. James. James, chapter 1, 2, verse 19. That's a good verse. That's what the Bible says. A lot of people are hanging on to this to go to heaven. Okay, but James chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils also believe and tremble. Joshua, you want to join Jeremiah? Thank you. The devils also believe and tremble. You know what that tells me? That tells me two things. One, the devils do believe. I think it was Spurgeon who said, it's very strange, atheism, a person who doesn't believe in God, atheism, is a strange thing because even the devils believe. The devils don't even believe in atheism. They believe in one God. But you know the second thing? Will the devil ever change their life? Will the devils change their way of life? No. 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 Do you know why Pastor Johnny is highlighting this? Because many people claim that just because you believe in Jesus going to heaven, if that's all you're banking off. And then the second part, let's make it complete. Group number four. Okay, versus repentance, yes? Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Okay, what does it say? Amen. Okay, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. That's a good verse. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Notice repentance and the dealing with sins is involved in the times of refreshing. The times of refreshing, referring to the Holy Spirit coming, shall come forth from the presence of the Lord. Okay? Repentance, this is what Jesus said when he first started preaching. This is the first thing. He says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. If the devils believe and tremble, it means that they know it's something very serious, but the devils will never change their life. Whereas for us humans, when Jesus Christ loved us, he says, you need to repent in your mind and heart. You need to know, I'm wrong, I've gone the wrong way. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. And if all you're banking off is, I believe in Jesus and go to heaven, but you forget about the repentance, you're not saved. Because Jesus said that repentance, repenting and believe the gospel, okay? Jesus said, he emphasized, except you repent, you will likewise perish. There must be a time in your life there was a clear change. Last time, from disobedience to parents to complete submission to parents. That's what it means. You may not know everything of the Bible, you know. But as you begin to see, hey, cannot. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you, and the Holy Spirit will be your tutor. Say, hey, cannot. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Does that make sense? There must be a time in your life that last time you enjoy certain things, but after you trust Christ, like, hey, there's something strange. I don't really like that anymore. That's the Holy Spirit trying to pull you away. Okay? All right? Another verse. And that, see, in the Great Commission, Jesus says repentance and the forgiveness of sins may be preached. We don't just preach forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach repentance. Yes, sir. That's not wrong. That's what Peter said. It's from the Bible. Why is it not wrong? We must be very clear. In the Jewish mindset, in the Jewish mind, remember Peter in Acts chapter 2 was talking to the Jews. Okay? When he was talking to the Jews, he says, repent. Repent. Right? For the Jews, baptism, before they go for baptism, there's one question that they are asked. Are you willing to turn away from everything that you have ever believed? Are you willing to turn away from everything you ever believed? If you have not, then don't get baptized. Baptism doesn't save, but Peter was challenging the Jews on something they already know. Today, even today, the Jews, before you, maybe as a Singaporean, I want to become a Jew, I have to go through 3 years of lessons. They actually have baptism. But at baptism, it's already confirmed there is only one God, Jehovah. Israel is his nation. It's already confirmed that Jehovah is God. I am following the God of Israel. That means before they even go into the waters of baptism, it's already confirmed. Okay? So at that time when Peter told these Jews, are you willing to give up the fact that you are the ones who crucified Jesus, and by faith you put your faith in Jesus, and if so, then be baptized to prove that you truly believe. Does it make sense? And you must understand when Peter gave that particular challenge, the Jews knew if they choose to follow Jesus, they can be persecuted and potentially be killed. But their love for Christ is so great and so thankful for what Jesus has done and they are repentant of their sins. I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't care what happens to me. That's faith. I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what happens to me. You know, in the Muslim countries today, they are actually asked these questions. Many of the Muslims are actually trusting Christ, but they are always asked these questions before they trust Christ. Are you prepared to die? And many of the Muslims say, yes, because I found the truth in Jesus. Many Muslims who became Christians are executed for their faith. All right? This is the same. Repentance is so important. If there is no repentance in your life, there is no salvation. If after you say you believe in Jesus and you're still not turning away from your sin, I mean, as a mind frame, they say, I cannot do this anymore. That whenever you go a wrong way, there's no stirring in your heart. The Holy Spirit is not in you, okay? Because the Bible says, after you've repented, then you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you have the forgiveness of sin, and you will. You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't it? I don't know what, I was speaking in American slang. Isn't it awesome? The Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. He becomes your tutor. He becomes your comforter. He becomes your help. He becomes your encourager. He becomes your strength. He becomes your wisdom. He becomes your counselor. He becomes everything to you. Okay? But you need to be willing to turn. God cannot fill a full cup. If you're full of ourselves, the Holy Spirit cannot come. But if you say, Lord, I'll throw up my old life, fill me, God will. Okay? Does that make sense? So repentance is very important. Any questions? But let's be clear on this as a church. Let's move forward. Yes. Any questions? Please remember these verses and make sure there's repentance in your life. Otherwise, you can't call yourself a Christian. I'm telling you clearly. All right, then next question. Any questions first? Next question. Baptism is not essential to salvation, therefore I do not need to be baptized. Okay, I'll give you 1 minute, right, to discuss this. Is this true? As a statement, discuss in your own group. All right, then. Okay, we want to understand the counsel of God, okay? Not just a statement, all right? All right. Okay, discuss among yourself, maybe 1 minute because of time slipping by, but these are essential questions. We'll stretch to next week if we need to because I just want to hit these things. Okay. A testing mindset. Baptism is not essential to salvation, therefore I don't need to be baptized. All right, now group number two. Any verses that come to your mind and all that? The key is not to play on semantics, okay? It's the counsel of God. We want to understand what's the counsel of God. I know we're getting at Jeremiah, but... Come, group number two. Explain it in the clearest possible way from the scriptures, yes. Come. Come. Okay, I suppose you can share as a group, but the men, let's say this. How? Okay, anyone else? Maybe this group come. Just throw your answer so that we can start the discussion. Don't be shy. It's okay. It's a place of learning, all right? It's not a place of judge, but it's just a place of learning. Come. Just say, come. So that means you are saying this is not true, lah. Okay, so what is?
Baptism is essential. It's not essential to salvation, but every believer must be
Because when? Burial and resurrection. To identify with Christ lah. Okay? Which Bible passage teaches us that? Romans chapter 6 does picture the spiritual. Actually, in Romans chapter 6, it talks about the spiritual aspects of our salvation, whereby Jesus died and was buried and raised again. So for us, in the same way, when we get saved, we are spiritually crucified to Christ, with Christ on the cross, we are buried and we come out with newness of life. Okay? Right? But, so this statement is only half true. Baptism is not essential for salvation. Alright? But, I'll give you a few reasons. Number one, baptism is in the Great Commission. If we believe in Jesus, we will follow the Great Commission. And His Great Commission says to be baptized. It's a commandment of Christ. We show that we love our Father by obeying what the instruction of our Father. Right? Okay? If we love Jesus, we will follow what He says. It shows our heart is changed. It shows that we want to follow Christ. Okay? So it's in the Great Commission, number one. Number two, it is a commandment. Repent and be baptized. So in the same way, it's obedience to Christ. Alright? The third reason is the pattern of Scripture. After the Philippian jailer, when he got saved, the Bible says he took them on the same hour of the night and washed his stripes and were baptized. And he and all his, I mean his family, immediately, because he wanted to identify with Christ. Okay, baptism is not essential for salvation, but there's no reason why a believer in Christ who trusts Christ will not want to follow Him. That, Brother Gideon, is the beginning of sanctification. Okay, baptism is not, oh, I got baptized, everything is fine. No, it's just a starting point of our obedience to follow Christ the rest of our lives. All right? Okay? Just like when I get married with my wife, I really loved her, everything is settled, we plan, and then after that, we have the wedding ceremony. That's the outward form. And then, doesn't mean that, oh, wedding finished, okay, I can rest already. Now you go and do your thing. No, it's living life for the rest of your life in Christ. Okay? Questions? Okay, the next one. As long as I attend church, any church, I'm fine. Okay, I'll give you 1 minute. Okay, group number one again. Inside, attend church, any church is fine. Okay, we try to speed up a bit. Maybe if you have, you just maybe group one, you hit the challenge. Come, Jeremiah or whoever from group one. Is it a true statement? As long as I attend church, any church, I'm fine. Yes, or maybe Gideon. What does he say? 2 Timothy, okay, never mind. I just let group three because they are very eager to participate. So, okay. 2 Timothy, yeah? What does he say? Okay. Okay. Okay, so, okay, there will be false. Okay. Okay, you have to find a good church because there will be false teachings everywhere. Okay, any other passages? There's a very important truth. Okay, there's a very important truth. And it's very true, there will be false teachings everywhere. And therefore, you can go to any church. No. If you just want to go to church to soothe your conscience, then go. But if you want to go to church to find the truth, then you need a good Bible-believing church. Okay? But any other verses? Which says? Okay, I'll give you the verses, okay? So, firstly, it's Jesus' church. We need to find which church Jesus built. How do we know which church Jesus built? We need to find a church that will teach us to observe all things that Jesus has commanded us. We don't follow tradition. We don't follow what we please. We just follow what the Bible says. And the last verse that Jeremiah mentioned, the church of God is the house of God, the church of living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's a place that will hold up the truth and will stand for the truth and will defend for the truth and will die for the truth. That is the type of church we need to go. They say, no, this truth is so important. Our Baptist forefathers, okay, we don't put too much into that because historically there may be some errors in their teaching. But you know, those people who truly believe the Bible are willing to die because they won't baptize their babies. If you read history, they just won't baptize their baby because it's wrong. And so many of them were whipped and many of them were executed because they refused to disobey God. Okay? So we need to, therefore I need to find a church that believes the word of God and will teach me to observe all things, the Lord Jesus Christ commanded. You know, in order for you to have this conviction, you must be saved. You must have Jesus in your heart already. Do you know what I mean? Because otherwise, why should I find a Bible-reading church to follow Christ? All right? Okay, just move on. Any questions there? Okay, please note down the verses, okay? I can forward you the PowerPoint slide. Okay, this one is going to be a challenging one. Moving away from church, moving to our lives, okay? I give you 1.5 minutes to deal with this. Pastor, why you make it so hard? No. Well, it's good. It's for us to think. Okay, come. For those who are younger, you say, "Ma, I don't work now. All I get is $5 at McDonald's."
Okay.
Join them. Okay. Which group would like to? Okay, this one is a bit harder because it meets your daily life, okay? But we still have to test everything. Testing everything means including our lives. Okay. So, which group would like to volunteer? Yeah, Brother Odin volunteers. Yes, come. Yes. Okay. 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 Okay, amen. Okay. Okay. Any other? Okay. Is it a personal, is a choice that he made, right? It's a choice on your side, right? But what's the Bible teaching? Okay, give time to worship even one day. Yeah, okay. Assembling ourselves together. Okay. Okay. I want to say, I throw in the Sunday as a decoy. Sunday is definitely, you're right. We need to honor the Lord. We need to set aside one day a week to worship the Lord. Okay? But what's the key thing of this? Rather, what Bible principle do you believe the Lord Jesus wants us to learn when you're faced with this? Anyone? Any verse that comes to your mind? Come on. Or just... Proverbs 23:4 says... Okay. 23:4 says... That's a good verse. Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thy own wisdom. Okay, labor not to be rich. Okay, that's correct. In other words, don't chase and chase and chase and chase after money, 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 money. Money is important. I'm not saying it's not important, okay? We need to pay the bills here. We need to pay your bills in your home. But that mustn't be your life. That mustn't be your life. The verse that should come to immediately in our mind is, I need to put God first. Right? Yes. Seek it first, the kingdom of God. And I'm glad Brother Aldwin shared. We put God first. But you know, Pastor, I just put Sundays. But you put God first. You put God first. You put God first. You put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And be assured, God will never shortchange you. Okay? I give you another verse that hopefully help you to understand that. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and thy house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord said, be far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. That's what God promised. If you honor me first, I will honor you. And that's what Brother Aldwin experienced. Right? He took lesser pay. Silent Sunday, he can go to church with Sunday, to church. And God promoted him later. In other words, Brother Aldwin, thank you for the encouragement. We need to make wise decisions like this. Okay? Because you test God in a good way. And say, God, I trust you. I trust you. And I'm going to put you first. And God promises, if you honor me, I will honor you. All right? Any questions? That's how you make wise decisions. Many times we get God's, or rather, many times we don't get the best because we don't leave the choice with him. Many times we don't get the best because we don't leave the choice with God. But if we honor God based on his principles, say, no, I may have shared with some of you already when I was in Nepal, there was one boy in Bible college. He's only 17, 18. He gave up a medical degree to go to Bible college to be a missionary. And he says, that's the will of God for me. Huh? He could be a doctor. Yeah. But that was what God was working in his heart. He chose God's direction. Okay? So that's something that, you see, when I share this, I don't know how many of you are saying, wow, Pastor, very hard. It is very tempting. See, the world will tempt you with all the things. Hey, you just do that. Two Sundays only, what? But God says, if you honor me, I will honor you. All right? You know, fathers, we need to make that decision. Mothers as well. And you know, all of us. Okay, that's what the Crossroads Camp is for. Okay? All right. Of course, Hebrews 10, don't forsake the assembling of us together. Okay? Well, let's face it this way. Monday to Saturday, you work. Sometimes you don't even spend time with the Lord. You know, God has designated Sunday. Say, Lord, nothing else. No appointments whatsoever. I'm giving this day to you. That's something that we need to learn, all right? Okay. All right, I'll do one last question. Okay, any questions first? How many of you find it tough? I hope you don't. If you find it tough, you need to come to the cross, remember what Jesus done for you, and say, Lord, you did so much for me. I'll honor you. I'll put you first. Okay? Last question. I have a group of friends that I always go out with to eat and to have fun. We don't drink or curse or swear, and they're much cooler than my Christian friends because they always talk about Christian stuff. This group of friends are not Christians, and I prefer them to Christians. Okay, this one is hate. This is fixed. Now, some of you may say, but Pastor, I always have to work with these guys. What? Okay, that's a different thing. You've got to work with a group of guys. It's different. But you still choose to go out with them after you have a free time. That's what it's talking about. When you're free time. Okay, this is the last question. Then after, we'll take a break. Okay? For those who are thinking, these are some things we talked about that you need to test everything by in our lesson last week. That we need to test our music, our friends, our career, our job, everything by the word of God. Okay? So, come. Okay, last question. Anyone? Free for all. Come. Anyone? Yes, I think Brother Joshua Kok is busy typing in, keying all the medical calculation. Okay, what is the time? Any verses or any Bible principles that come to our mind? Sorry? Okay, so what do you think about this statement first? It's a wise decision or wise decision. It's a biblical decision. Or I'm testing it. Okay, I'm testing it. Is this the right direction that a Christian should go? Okay, no. Why? Okay, because the Bible says we didn't collide, collide. I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The Christian's best friend ought to be Christians. That's what the Bible says. If your best friend is a non-believer, you need to ask yourself, why is that true? Because the Bible says, I am a companion. The word companion means I hang out with them. I live with them. I love them. That means I walk together with them. I hang out with them for those people who fear God. That is a biblical injunction, biblical principle. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools. Fools means a person who don't follow God, because the fool that says in his heart there is no God shall be destroyed. I want to encourage us to look at our friendships. Okay, I'm not saying don't make friends with non-believers, but I'm saying if you're genuinely following Jesus, you will be careful about what kind of friends you hang out with. Because like it or not, your friends will influence you. Your friends will influence you. Your friends will influence you. There are two things that influence people over a 5-year period. Your friends and the things you read. The things you read changes your mind. Your friends changes your life. How you see things, how you, and the way they talk, the way they thinking. Sorry? Yeah, they don't drink or curse and swear. Yeah, they don't drink or curse and swear. See, the reason why I put it there, because many of us have very good friends. But the key is, do our friends push us towards Christ? Do our friends actually say, hey, you need to walk with God more? Because unless we just value life on planet Earth, we just want a peaceful life, everything is nice and fine. But I want to grow in Christ. You know? Huh? Yes, they can be Christian friends, so-called, but they don't want to. They don't say anything about Christ. They don't talk about Christ. In other words, you can hang out with friends who are Christian friends, but they don't talk about Christ. And therefore, you don't grow in Christ. Okay? And this is a very important principle. Okay? We know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. Okay? So, any questions? Yeah, that's a good statement. I'm praying and hope all of us will understand. Just because a person calls himself a Christian, you need to say, does that person push me towards Christ? Because if I really care for you, and I want you to have the best life in this world, I will push you towards Christ. Because Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. Once you have Jesus in your life, and I know as a friend I'm pushing you towards Christ, I have the best in my heart for you. Does that make sense? And sometimes, hey, you shouldn't be doing that because Jesus says, don't do that. Then I'm trying to cut out things in your life so that you can keep moving on for Christ. Okay? Now, in friendships, I'm not saying, like I say, maybe in the canteen or the classroom or your colleagues, the workplace, hey, let's go and drink or not drink. Let's go for lunch. Okay, don't drink. They don't curse and swear and drink. And say, hey, let's go. There's nothing wrong with eating lunch at the workplace with your friend. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? But it's what you do in your free time, that you deliberately hang out with them. I can tell you, if you do that, what's going to happen over time, your spiritual senses will get less and less sensitive. Why? Because no one rubs it for you. No one builds you up. No one sharpens you. But if you constantly be with friends who love God and want to serve Him and are growing in Christ, you'll find that you will grow as well. All right? Okay, I've got a few more questions, but I'll deal with it next week, all right, because of time. Any questions? Any further questions? Okay, these are real decisions that you all have to make. And I'm telling you, if I'm asking you, just let's follow Christ in His Word. I know in some of the decisions, said, Lord, this is really hard. then I invite you to go to the cross. And when you're at the cross, all your doubts will disappear. Because when you see what Jesus has done for us, I was talking to someone yesterday that actually we talk about sacrificing for Christ, right? Actually, we don't sacrifice for Christ. It's a privilege to give up things for Christ. Amen? It's actually a privilege. I know it's hard sometimes. But once you realize how much God has done for you, David Livingstone, the first missionary, I believe, to Africa, went into the deepest depths of Africa and said, Mr. Livingstone, why are you sacrificing all this? Sacrifice? What sacrifice? I count it a privilege to serve God in that nation, in that dark country. All right? And challenge your heart to follow Christ. All right? For those who are still a bit struggling, Psalm 73, read that in your free time. Psalm 73 is about a man who, looking at all the prosperity of the world, feel very pick-chick, very frustrated, why am I going through all this? And what he did in order to come back to God. All right, Psalm 73. Ken, any questions? Does this help? Is it helpful? I hope it is, because I want us to test everything, the way we live by the word of God. Oh, I'll go right to the end first, because I have I'm going to give you all this first. Give you this one first. Next week, I'll ask you again, but there's about another 7 more questions. I'll go through. We talk about music, talk about tattoos, talk about different things that we go deal with, okay? Will you ask the Lord to change you into His likeness by following God's word? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. I pray that thy word will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thy word, the unchanging word, will always be the foundation upon which we build our lives. Help us to trust you, Father, that where we put you and your word first, you will always honor us. Help us to live by the principles of your word. Thank you for the honesty of our brethren. I pray that we'll continuously be honest before you as we test everything we go through in this life by your precious word. Bless the service to follow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.